Last week, we heard that even in the light of the resurrection, he still may not see Jesus. This week, we hear that even in the light of the resurrection, you may not understand Jesus. We hear this very clearly in our gospel story, that Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. We can look at our other two readings, and they may be equally baffling to us today, that there are things that we do not understand. Our first reading from Acts shows us an excellent overview of what the church could be and should be. This community that is rooted in the gospel, that is devoted to teaching and fellowship, that breaks bread, that says prayers together. All of that sounds wonderful, and it does not befuddle the mind. But then we get to this point about everyone selling all of their possessions and their goods, gathering together what they had, and dispersing it in ways that all who have need receive what they need. And as wonderful as this sounds, we know that it becomes challenging in practice for many of us. We know that there are very few, if any, who are selling all that they have and handing it over to the church today. And even if we could get past that hurdle, which doesn't make sense to many of us to do, we then have the challenge of how do we disperse things in a way that all needs in a community, all needs of those gathered would be fully met. This would be challenging to us. It would be a difficult path to take, and one that wouldn't elicit an immediate understanding if we were to be able to engage in it. Our second reading is even more readily baffling. We hear that it is a commendable thing, a good thing for us, if we would endure suffering unjustly. Meaning that we knew it was in the wrong for someone to inflict such suffering upon us, and we would bear up under it anyway. And our author says, this is a commendable thing in God's sight. Obviously, we don't really enjoy suffering, even if we know that we should, even if we know we had done wrong. Here, our author is telling us that we should endure suffering even when we are in the right. And that also doesn't really make sense to us. And I'll confess that these things don't get any easier simply because one has gone through seminary. I too don't know how to understand all that Jesus would share with us, parse through everything that we hear today in a way that we can finally say, oh, that's how it works. And so in humility, I'll offer up some reflections that I have on our readings, the things that sort of grip us. And what seems to be the key here is Jesus as our good shepherd, as one whose voice we are to listen to. We would hope that Christ's voice would become the clarion call that would give us such clarity that we would not be confused, that we would not have misunderstandings, that we would just simply follow where Christ would lead. The challenge, of course, is that Jesus' voice doesn't always ring through in such a way. We hear Jesus say that those who belong to his sheep hear his voice, that they do not recognize the voice of strangers and will not go after them. And yet we can look throughout human history and probably even in our own lives and see that there are times we heed other voices, that we listen to these strangers and don't follow where Christ would lead us. And indeed, it is that very issue, I think, that makes these misunderstandings more prone to happen, our own consternation at what God is up to. We heed other voices that will plead to that which makes sense to us. But as Jesus tells us clearly, there's a problem here when we go down these other roads. These voices will only seek to steal and kill and destroy. The challenge, of course, is that they say otherwise. These voices often masquerade. These thieves and these bandits want to act like they are the good shepherd. They promise this is the path to life, even as they labor for our death. You see this clearly in that reading we heard at the very beginning of Lent. From Genesis, as we heard about that serpent, this was a voice that had crept into the sheepfold that came to kill, steal, and destroy. But it says something very different than that. It promises life. You will not die. It promises improvement. You will be like God if you would eat this fruit that is forbidden. And in the same way, I think such voices still masquerade today. These voices that say you don't have to go through pain and suffering. It doesn't have to be difficult. They promise quick and easy solutions to life's complex and difficult problems. These voices, they come to us and they say, you can be like God. You can have mastery over this world around you. You can render good judgments. You can be in control. And all the while, these voices are working against us. They are seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. They are driving wedges between us and God, us and others, and even us and our own selves. What we need is a voice that sometimes is confusing, sometimes we misunderstand, and yet is the only voice that is truly seeking our well-being, that is spoken that we may have life and have it abundantly. We need the voice of our good shepherd. But this voice offers us a perspective that is different. It is difficult for us to lay hold of it right away. Our reading from 2 Peter or 1 Peter tells us why today. Because the path that Christ will lead us on is one that embraces suffering for the sake of the world. This is the path Jesus took. That though Jesus is the only one who should never have had to suffer in this world, indeed is the author and giver of life, one who committed no sin, he should have had no suffering whatsoever. And yet he embraces that injustice, goes to a cross, and through that destroys the power of sin and death. And we hear today this is the path Christ invites us to walk as well. And we look at such a path and say, wait a second here. Pain, suffering, hardship, challenge, for the sake of others? And Jesus says, yes, that is the path that leads to life, an abundant life. We are to trust that even if Jesus were to lead us into dark valleys of shadows of death, we would still know life there because of the one who is journeying with us, because of the one who is laboring on our behalf. Such a statement doesn't make immediate intuitive sense to us. We would say, but I'd rather bypass that path altogether and still get the life. That's not where Jesus is beckoning us today, I don't think. Indeed, in our gospel reading, we see how this perspective of Jesus sort of has a rhythm to it, a rhythm that as the good shepherd calls us out, the sheep are called out of the sheepfold, out of that place of protection, out of that place of comfort, and invited to follow the shepherd down wherever paths and whatever path the shepherd would lead. And so are we, so drawn out today ourselves, called to follow Christ out into this world. To go wherever Jesus would lead us, knowing that Jesus leads us away from the perspectives of thieves and bandits, away from those perspectives that only come to steal, kill, and destroy, and into Christ's perspective that brings healing, wholeness, life, and restoration to us and to this world. But we also hear that Jesus is the gate. Jesus not only leads us out, but also beckons us in and says, come and enter through me. Know a sheepfold where all are gathered and held within the love of God. Come and know a place where you can be safe from those thieves and those bandits, a place where your life can be nurtured. And this is the rhythm Jesus invites us to know as we go out to follow our good shepherd and return to the sheepfold of God, entering through Christ. I think we see this on display in our reading from Acts today in the early church. They were sent out into the world. They were still worshiping in the temple. They were still participating in their lives, but they were now participating in a way that followed Christ and that sought to make Jesus' love and life known in this world. And they were drawn back together again, meeting and devoting themselves to teaching and fellowship, to that meal, to prayers. And as they were grounded and rooted in this love, it transformed them in such a way that they wanted to give of themselves, to tend to the needs of others. And that's what they did. We too, dear brothers and sisters, are invited into such a rhythm today. We too will be sent out from this place, and we will be invited to follow our good shepherd along the way, to recognize the voice of Jesus breaking into our lives, and even if it doesn't make sense to us, say, yes, I will follow you, Lord, wherever you would go. But then we're also invited to return. We're invited to gather again in the name of Christ and share this meal together, where Christ is also our gate. And in this bread and wine, body and blood, we are welcomed into God's presence. We are welcomed once more into this one sheepfold of God, where all the sheep can be gathered across time and space. And here we can be nourished and nurtured in such a way that we encounter this love of God that transforms us. Here we recognize the truth that first and foremost, Christ gave everything away in order to satisfy our deepest needs and the needs of this world. And encountering that love and that truth, we too then seek to give of ourselves to satisfy the needs of those around us, just as those did in our reading from Acts. That we would give our own abilities, our time, and the gifts that have been entrusted to us freely to share with those around us. Because this is, of course, what Christ has done for us already. This is how our good shepherd has interacted with us. And as we participate in this life and in these rhythms that Christ beckons us into, as we follow our good shepherd and enter through this gate, we become ever more aware of God's presence, become ever more aware of the good news of the resurrection and the life that Christ has won for us. And this awareness then helps us sing out with Easter joy in any and all circumstances, that whether we are at the highest of highs or the lowest of lows, whether we're in that dark valley or sharing in the feast that God has laid for us in Christ, we can cry out with joy this good news. Alleluia! Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.